Blog Talk Radio.
This is Cheap for Yourself. Now, here's Gio.
Hi, and welcome to Cheap for Yourself. I'm glad you're with us today, wherever you happen to be in the world at this moment. Our purpose is to keep you in that flow of good chi or essential energy toward the living of a genuine life. And if you pause just a moment to think about one of the best times of your life, you probably get at least a little bit of the rush you were feeling when you were actually living that moment. And maybe you're wondering, whatever happened to those experiences and the really powerful sense of aliveness they brought with them? Well, today we're going to be talking about getting those feelings back and then some. Our guest is Kara Bradley, and she's going to help us experience what she calls high-definition, high-voltage living every day. Kara is a lifelong teacher, mental strength coach, presenter of yoga and mindfulness programs at conferences and universities nationwide and online, and she's the author of On the Verge, Wake Up, Show Up, and Shine, which is as much a clarion call as it is a title. Kara, we get a sense of waking up, showing up, and shining. Tell us what we mean by On the Verge.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, John. Thanks for having me. On the Verge. Well, the Verge happens to be this spot of land that exists down in the Amazon where ecosystems converge. There's a spot of land on many of the different tributary systems where two rivers meet. And it's been researched and proven that on this spot of land, wildlife and animal life thrive. So you could say that life thrives right there at that place. And that place is called the Verge. And when I first learned about that, I was incredibly intrigued because I wanted to know if there was a verge near me. And so it set me off on my journey to discover how to live on the verge every day.
Well, you don't, in the book, you're very hands-on. You don't cite great philosophers and thinkers. Is this what moved you to write On the Verge, that experience of wanting to find the verge?
Well, I had an experience when I was 19, when I experienced myself beyond thought, doubt, fear, mental chatter, and all the things that had held me back in the past. I was a runner, and I was up for my last track race, and I happened to do something that set me off on to have the race of my life. What I discovered afterward was that what had happened didn't seem extraordinary. It actually seemed very ordinary. The state of being I had accessed seemed like it was more genuinely me than I'd ever experienced in my adult or young adulthood. And so that really set me off on this whole idea of how to access human potential. And then a couple of years later, I discovered that a verge existed out there. And so what I've since recognized after many, many years of inquiry and study is that the verge actually exists in this moment and in this moment and in this moment. So every moment is actually the verge. It is that place where we thrive. So my whole quest for myself and my own life and how I teach is just to help people to show up in this moment more fully, more often.
So at least up until the time of that aha moment, I guess you could say you were looking outside for what was really within?
Oh, for sure. I think many of us do look for the next gadget or the next book or the great philosopher or all of the outer sources that are telling us these days what to buy, what to wear, what to read, how to do this so that we can get that. And it really wasn't until I started to take the deep dive inward and to really recognize and get to know how my mind operated that I was able to start to experience the moment in between thinking, the moment when I wasn't that bogged down by a negative emotion. And when we can do that, when we can be present right here, we start to discover our very, very natural sense of wakefulness and aliveness that's available to all of us all the time.
And I get the idea from the book, too. I think you've actually mentioned it in so many words, that there is nothing to really improve. The words self-improvement may be a misnomer. It's more like self-vision, isn't it, seeing what's already there?
Oh, yeah, you really hit the nail on the head, because I often tell people I'm not about self-help, and my book isn't a self-help book, because I truly believe and trust that there is no better version of you out there. There's nothing there in the future that's going to make you any better than you are right now in this moment when you show up fully available to live life just as it is. And so it really isn't a self-help book, because I don't believe we need to help ourselves. I do believe, though, if we do need to settle and steady and stabilize all of these systems that have kind of gone haywire in our lives, so that we can just live in our natural sense of creativity and compassion and aliveness and joy.
I get the feeling that we're very much getting out of our heads, because I, as a kid, I lived in my head, and I didn't listen to my heart. So would that be a key component, too, to get out of that head clutter and start listening to the heart?
Yeah, when we can start to recognize moments that are happening all the time, every day, where we have that sense of awe, where we feel that sense of connection, where we feel still or silent or completely lit up from within. These moments are happening all the time. For instance, if you just look up from a red light and you see the sunset, you may just pause for a moment. Well, that is a moment when you're not in your head. And when we can start to recognize all the moments that happen out there all the time, when we're not in our thinking mind, or as I call it, the busy mind, or not stuck in this emotional cycle, we do connect more fully with our heart. So it's not something we have to try to do. It's actually a letting go into that allows us to fully access our heart and our physical body as well.
Mm. Now, you have a number of helpful verge practices and strategies in the book, tools to get you beyond the mind. Talk about some of those and how they work.
Yeah, I love practice. I love to have little practices in my life. Love teaching people about practices. So what I offer are 4 verge practices and 4 verge strategies. And these are just simple ways to start to notice when you're here, right now in this moment, and when you get pulled away. And you can get pulled away by distraction, by stories, by future, by negative emotions. Right, so the practices, like the first one, which is called Notice This Moment, are a handful of tools to help you get better at noticing where you are, so you don't get so pulled away in thought that you forget about where you're driving, or you don't get so bogged down or shut down by emotions that you're unable to meet your child where they need you to meet them. So we can get better and better at noticing where we are, and that is really the practice of mindfulness. It's learning how to pay attention right now and noticing when we're not paying attention right now.
Our guest on this Chief for Yourself is Kara Bradley, author of On the Verge, Wake Up, Show Up, and Shine. You write that you have always been fascinated with energy being a core component of this show, energy, how it works in our lives and what we can do with it. You picked up on energies of other people even at a very young age. What was that like?
Yeah, I think all children are so incredibly sensitive to the energies of other people. And I think from a very young age, I used to study people. I've been fascinated with human nature. And I just remember I grew up in Brooklyn, in New York, and I remember sitting on subways with my mom and just watching people and noticing, thinking about if they were happy or dissatisfied in their lives, if they were in pain. And it was this interesting inner dialogue I had with this person who was sitting across from me on the subway. But years later, now I've been teaching movement disciplines for over 30 years, I recognize that I really love to move bodies in yoga or in many other disciplines that I've taught, because we're not communicating with language. I may be speaking, but there's a whole picture that's being painted, say during a yoga class, this energetic exchange that is way beyond what words could ever express. And so I've become a real lover of how energy is exchanged, how we sense each other, how we support each other when, say, I'm present and you're distracted, or when you're calm and I'm stressed. We can support each other so well without even uttering a word to one another. And it's just fascinating.
Mm-hmm. And you say that rhythm really is more important than movement. How so?
So rhythm, when we move in rhythm, when we breathe and move in rhythm specifically, so say it's taking a walk when you're just by yourself and you're just start to get into this sync, right, synchronizing your breath and your body in this rhythm, what happens is that we settle down, right? You think about rocking a child to sleep. Very simply, we start to settle our busy mind, we start to settle our nervous system, and it elicits an incredible sense of well-being. So I recommend all the time, even if you only have 5 minutes, and in fact, I have this stuff on my app. I have a free app for my book, On the Verge, and the app is called On the Verge. And I have a moving meditation, and the moving meditation is just a five-minute synchronized simple movement where breath and body are moving in rhythm. And within 5 minutes or 2 minutes, you can shift your state. It's just incredible the tools we have that are perfectly free and available all the time.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because people are still seeing meditation as one of these sit in a corner and stare into space. There are moving meditations, and they can be anywhere in your day. And I'm glad you noted that. Now, we talk about the clutter in our heads, and Lord knows there's enough stuff coming from every direction, media and everything else. And we can make it overly dramatic. And I'm wondering, do we really all have a bit of the drama queen in us?
I think we do. I think what, in my experience, and especially having studied meditation for so many years, what is really important for us all to recognize is that our minds won't stop thinking, right? We have thinking minds. This is what our minds do. They produce thoughts. Just like our eyes see and our ears hear, we're always going to be producing thoughts. Now, what's happened in our culture, however, is that we've been conditioned to think a lot. We've been conditioned to store a lot, to constantly be moving from one thing to the next. So these are all just habits that we've accumulated over the course of being human, but especially in the last couple of hundred years. What is so exciting, John, about what's happening in science these days is that we now know we can change the way our brain works. Mindfulness practices especially have been studied in thousands of different ways, and we can change these patterns, these neural pathways in our brain, so that we're not always thinking about this and that and she and what he said and what she said and what I have to do yesterday, what I did yesterday, what I have to do today. Through practice of just sitting and steadying your mind through breath or maybe a moving meditation, you can start to change the neural pathways so that you're not habituated to be constantly worrying. This is incredibly exciting news.
It is. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And I've always believed in that. Yeah. Now, you're out amongst the troops. You have a lot of contact with the public. You're teaching and seminars and such. Are we starting to get this on a wider sort of a macro level now? Because with all of the bad things going on in society and in the world, we could sure use this now. What kind of reception are you getting?
I do think we're getting it. And I really am very, very optimistic. Many, many people I find all over the country are so hungry for simple practices. In other words, you know, we know about meditation, we know about yoga, we know about what we have to eat and this and that and that. We're so bombarded with information that we're hungry for simple, very easy to implement ways to make change in our lives. And so I've gotten a really great reception. I'm so excited about the app because the app gives it to you on your phone, mm-hmm. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, here, there, that you can do all the time.
A lot of folks kind of watch life from the bleachers instead of coming down on the field to participate. How can we start being players instead of watchers? And what do we have to gain by doing that?
Well, what happens when we start to notice, as I said before, notice those moments between thoughts, notice the sunset, notice the smell of the aroma of coffee, notice what you're sitting down to eat for dinner. When we start to pause and notice how we're experiencing life, we start to directly experience what's happening in our lives more fully. Very, very often when we get stuck in our busyness, and you may relate to this, when we get stuck in our busyness, our day can feel sort of muted or dulled.
Yeah.
We could walk through life in a fog, right? Walk through our workday in a fog because we're not really showing up for what's happening in our lives. We're so stuck in what has to be done, all of our to-dos and everything going on in our lives.
Mm.
What's amazing is that when we start to recognize this moment and this moment and this moment and what do I need to do right now, we start to feel like we're much more engaged. And that's what I talk about with life is not a spectator sport, right? We don't want to sit on the sidelines watching the game of our lives fly by us. We want to step right on the court, full center court, and play this game, this privilege of being human, a privilege of being alive.
Hmm.
And we can do that through simple practices.
And speaking of sports analogies, you were a pro rollerblader for a while. What was that like? How did that carry over to what you're doing now? Or did it?
Yeah, I was a figure skater growing up, and I was living in New York City, and at the beginning of the trend of rollerblading in the late 80s, early 90s, I picked it up, started teaching it, started performing for them all over the world. And, boy, talk about being fully alive. I mean, there's nothing like flying down a hill in Central mm-hmm. Park. You know, everything's lit up. You just feel so awake. And so in some ways, I'm addicted to feeling alive, and I don't see that as a bad thing. It was a blast. It was really a blast. But then I also found in teaching yoga and practicing yoga that same sense of vividness and energy and vitality that I felt when I was flying down the slalom hill in Central Park.
You know, living in Southern California now, originally an East Coaster, I've gone out rollerblading, and I think I've hit a ceiling. And I'm wondering, is there some sort of a secret to the move past that putt-putt stage that I seem to be?
Well, once you get the braking down, it's all good.
Oh, of course, the braking, yeah. Moving fine, stopping, that's something else. In the book, talk about low self-esteem. Is there one exercise or a thought that might snap us out of that feeling that we can take mm-hmm. with us from this interview, at least snap us out of it for a short time?
You know, when we can start to believe that there's no better version of ourselves out there, that if we can just show up for this moment and what I need to do right now, we relax. This sense of being not good enough and not worthy starts to dissolve. And so I am a huge proponent of loving kindness, of being kind to ourselves, of putting our hands on our hearts and giving ourselves a little bit more love, patience, tenderness. Now, I didn't come to this easily, John. I'm a hardcore New Yorker and hard worker, entrepreneur, go, go, go all the time. But I will say it really has changed my life. Just showing up and being kind and saying, it's okay, we're going to give this another try now. I have this one exercise in the book called Love Object. And the love object, I ask readers, I'll ask you all, just to think about how you speak to your pet, your dog, your cat, or a young child, somebody that's in your life that you have an unconditional relationship with. Start to watch the way you speak to that person or a pet and see if you can start to talk to yourself like that.
Mm.
And it may seem kind of silly at first, but it really works. It really does soften you. I start to talk to myself like I talk to my dog, and, you know, it made me laugh a whole lot more than I was. and it softened me around those hardcore edges a bit.
All right, excellent place to stop for today. Your website can be found where?
KaraBradley.net, and that's Kara with a C, KaraBradley.net.com, mm-hmm. and also on the app. The app's going to be great. It's got lots of stuff on there that people can pick up right away.
The book is On the Verge, Wake Up, Show Up, and Shine, from our guest, Kara Bradley. Kara, thanks for bringing such great energy to the program and for tools to help us shine and live what we like to call around here a genuine life. More projects coming up for you by any chance?
Well, I've got a bunch of conferences coming up in the next few months, and I do international retreats. Love taking people and having these fantastic experiences across the globe. So that's all on my website as well.
All right. Well, I hope you'll come back again and talk with us. We'll be keeping tabs on your movement, and come back when you can.
Great. Thanks so much, John.
And you'll find a link to Kara Bradley's website, achieveforyourself.com, and you can go there and also enter your email address into the little box provided, and we'll get you all of the blog postings from Genulines, which will keep you up to date on our guests' coming and goings and the show times, dates, and things like that. Lots of ways to get Chief for Yourself in the listening mode, one of those being TuneIn.com. Hello to everyone at TuneIn.com. That's going to do it for today. I want to thank you so much for being with us. Be well, and I'll talk to you soon.